Here's a startling fact. Nearly every major invention you rely on today was discovered independently by multiple people at almost exactly the same time. Light bulbs? 23 inventors before Edison. Telephones? Alexander Graham Bell and Elisha Gray filed patents on the same day. Calculus, electricity, genetics, even relativity, all emerged simultaneously in different minds across the globe. This isn't coincidence. It's evidence of something profound. The world doesn't need masterminds or divine architects. It organizes itself. This revolutionary insight challenges everything we've been taught about progress, from the classroom to the boardroom. We celebrate individual genius, credit governments for prosperity, and assume complex systems require intelligent design. But what if we've had it backwards all along? What if the most powerful transformations in human history, from moral progress to technological innovation, happened not because someone planned them, but precisely because no one did? 2,000 years ago, a Roman poet named Lucretius wrote something so dangerous that authorities spent centuries trying to erase it from history. His epic poem proposed that the universe operates through natural laws alone, without divine intervention, that everything consists merely of atoms and voids following predictable patterns. When a manuscript hunter discovered the sole surviving copy in a German monastery in 1417, it sparked the Renaissance, the Scientific Revolution, and the Enlightenment. Yet even revolutionaries couldn't fully embrace this insight. Newton explained planetary motion through gravity, but insisted God must periodically nudge planets back into place. Leibniz attempted mathematical proof of God's existence. This pattern, what might be called the Lucretian swerve, repeats throughout intellectual history. Brilliant minds accept bottom-up explanations for one phenomenon while desperately preserving top-down control for the next mystery. Morality wasn't handed down from mountaintops. It bubbled up from playgrounds. Children discover through trial and error what behaviors create harmony, learning to share and tell truth because these generate what Adam Smith called mutual sympathy of sentiments. Religious authorities simply recorded moral conventions society had already developed. This explains humanity's dramatic decline in violence. Medieval homicide rates were 99% higher than today's. What changed? Not religious instruction. Medieval Europe was deeply Christian, yet casually brutal. Instead, centralized government transformed warriors into courtiers, while commerce turned potential enemies into trading partners. Viewing your neighbor as a customer rather than prey makes killing him bad for business. Montesquieu called this due commerce, the gentle civilizing force of mutual economic dependence. Nobody planned the great enrichment that increased average global income 10-20 times since 1800. Adam Smith's 1776 Wealth of Nations argued that division of labor, specialization accompanied by exchange, was key. Voluntary exchange creates mutual gains as people do what they're best at, encouraging more specialization and inevitably incentivizing innovation through recombination of ideas. The result is an immense web of cooperation among strangers, with merchant-run societies consistently producing more prosperity, peace, and culture than despotic ones, from ancient Phoenicia versus Egypt to modern California versus Iran. Charles Darwin synthesized insights from Adam Smith and Malthus, recognizing that biological competition mirrors market forces, both producing order through individual actions rather than central planning. This answered William Paley's watchmaker argument. Organisms appear designed, but differential replication produces cumulative complexity without requiring a designer's comprehension. Natural selection surpasses any intelligent designer because it's omniscient about what has worked in the recent past, surveying results across millions of individuals over thousands of generations. The eye's evolution, once Darwin's greatest challenge, has been solved. Every developmental stage exists among living mollusks. Light-sensitive patches in limpets, pinhole chambers in nautilus, adjustable lenses in octopuses. Yet resistance persists. Fewer than 20% of people in Muslim-majority countries accept evolution. Even secular people struggle with complex organs emerging without a plan. Stephen Jay Gould challenged adaptationism in the 1970s, suggesting many features weren't shaped by natural selection. Though popular publicly, Gould lost this argument within evolutionary biology, his resistance reflecting what Daniel Dennett calls the mind-first, top-down vision. Evolution extends beyond DNA. Human culture evolves through identical Darwinian mechanisms of gradual, undirected, selective change. Language exemplifies this. A linear digital code that mutates and diversifies without planning, yet produces rigid grammatical structures. Frequently used words become shorter, common words change slowly, rare words evolve quickly. Children learn language naturally, while top-down teaching fails because language spontaneously organizes from below. Around 200,000 years ago in Africa, human cultural development accelerated dramatically. After a million years of simple stone tools, humans began creating diverse designs. By 65,000 years ago, these culturally advanced humans spread from Africa, displacing hominids like Neanderthals. The catalyst wasn't genetic mutation, but cumulative culture, the ability to add innovations without losing old habits, likely beginning with exchange and specialization. Cultural evolution then drove genetic changes. Dairy farming led to adult lactose digestion genes. Language use selected for mutations enhancing language skills. Cities demonstrate similar evolutionary development. Britain became the world's most urbanized country between 1740-1850 without planning laws or public housing. Manchester and Birmingham grew from towns to great cities through private initiative, orderly yet unplanned. Cities show predictable patterns. Infrastructure needs increase slower than population, while innovation increases faster, making cities super creative and explaining why they rarely die, unlike companies. Technology drives its own progress through adjacent possible steps, each innovation enabling the next in a consistent sequence across cultures. This evolutionary view undermines heroic invention narratives and challenges patent systems granting excessive individual credit. While intellectual property originally encouraged sharing, today's patents create defensive thickets that block innovation. Politicians wrongly believe pure science drives technology. The linear model gets innovation backwards. History shows scientific breakthroughs typically follow technological change. Thermodynamics followed the steam engine. Chemistry flourished, meeting dye makers' needs. DNA's structure emerged using X-ray crystallography developed for textiles. The Industrial Revolution came from practical tinkerers, not scientists. This pattern continues today. The internet represents perfect evolutionary emergence, complex and ordered, yet undesigned and decentralized. Unlike radio and television that facilitated totalitarian control, the internet's many-to-many structure undermines dictatorships. Blockchain technology could revolutionize society by eliminating middlemen through censorship-resistant networks and distributed autonomous organizations. Imagine summoning a driverless taxi owned by a distributed computer network that independently raised funds and acquired vehicles. We experience ourselves as having a unified self with free will, but this is an illusion. Examining the brain reveals only physical components working in parallel, not a unified mind. Francis Crick's astonishing hypothesis states that all mental activities arise entirely from cells, atoms, and molecules. Experiments show our brains initiate actions before conscious awareness. Brain activity appears 300 milliseconds before subjects report deciding to press a button, while MRI studies detect predictive activity 10 seconds before conscious decisions. This understanding has profound implications. Judith Rich Harris discovered that while parents matter for care and love, parenting styles don't significantly shape adult personality. Behavior genetic studies show personality differences stem roughly half from genes and half from non-home environmental factors. The scientific consensus on intelligence has shifted dramatically. Researchers now debate only whether genes account for 30 or 60% of IQ differences. The 1990s revelation that homosexuality was primarily innate caused remarkable shifts. Gay people embraced this biological understanding as validation that their sexuality emerged naturally. Conservative opposition to gay rights diminished once homosexuality wasn't seen as caused by adolescent indoctrination. Understanding human nature as evolved rather than designed actually increases compassion and reduces blame. The 20th century reveals a stark pattern. Bad news stems from top-down interventions like wars and financial crises, while good news emerges from bottom-up processes like rising incomes and technological advances. Compulsory education represents only a fraction of how humans actually learn through reading, watching, emulating, and doing. Prussia's post-Napoleon school system primarily trained obedient soldiers. When Britain mandated education in 1880, its population was already nearly literate through voluntary learning. International studies consistently show private education outperforming centralized systems. Government itself emerges spontaneously. American West cattle towns averaged just 1.5 murders per trading season, 1870 to 85, lower than today's rates despite minimal formal government. Even prison gangs demonstrate spontaneous governance when populations grow too large for interpersonal codes. Evolution's general theory, incremental change through recombination and selection, applies beyond biology to morality, economy, culture, language, technology, and institutions. The future belongs to those who create conditions for emergence and trust bottom-up processes. The most powerful force isn't intelligent design, it's evolution itself, working through countless small experiments. Your job isn't to control the outcome, it's to participate in the experiment.